Our Bible story today is going to take us back to 1 Samuel chapter 25. And we're going to spend some time talking about David and his life. And in fact, we encounter David once again in a very awkward space. He's in a bit of a pickle in his life right now, and it lasts for quite a while. In fact, David is no longer a shepherd at this point when our story takes place, but he's not king yet. He's in this weird kind of in-between phase. He knows he's going to be king, but he's not king yet. So in the meantime, David is working his best to be faithful to God's vision and waiting. I'm not sure about you, but sometimes it's super hard to wait in the in-between times. Have you ever known that you were going to get a really awesome gift for Christmas or maybe for your birthday, but you couldn't have it until then? Like, you knew it was coming, but you couldn't have it yet? Or being patient can be so challenging sometimes. Sometimes we're just waiting for dinner to be done out of the oven. Other times we're waiting for just the right job or for the next paycheck. While David was in waiting, he was actually really busy protecting the land that was around him and taking care to make sure nobody came in and destroyed the land he was on and took anything. And so one of these people's lands that David was watching over, he was making sure everything was all right, was an extremely wealthy man whose name is Nabal, who had a wife named Abigail. This particular couple was they were polar opposites. They weren't like peanut butter and jelly and bread and butter. They were more like fire and like water, or their personalities were so vastly different from one another, or like dark and light, completely opposite. Because you see, Nabal was a selfish, wealthy man who was foolish, whereas his wife was intelligent and beautiful. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a female or anything. Like, look in your scripture in verse 3. It tells us that Abigail was intelligent and beautiful. But I would add that she was also brave. And you're going to find out later why I think Abigail was brave. While David was living near Nabal's large amount of land, David heard that Nabal's servants were shearing some sheep. That's where they give him a haircut, you know, like they're getting rid of all the fur. And this, actually, bringing in the wool brought in lots of revenue and wealth to Nabal. And so David knew there would need to be some extra care given to the land to protect the fortune that was happening for a while Nabal's servants were out in the field shearing the sheep. So in all of this, David goes to send Nabal a message of good health and of virtue. And he says, "We are with you. We're behind you. We just want to wish you well." So he sends the 600 men that he has with him to Nabal to send this message. And while they are there, David gives instructions to his men that his men are also to ask, as it was custom in that time, to be fed and have provisions made for them. Now, this seems a little outrageous of a request if we don't know too much about the culture, because I can't feed 600 people out of my kitchen without going to the grocery store. I don't even know if my bank account could feed 600 people. And on top of that, I don't know anybody here who would be able to have 600 people show up on their land and be able to feed them and give them provisions. So to us, it seems like a really outrageous, a ridiculous, a crazy request that David would ask Nabal to feed 600 people. But First, what you need to know is it was custom in that day when anybody came and visited your home that you would give them a meal. It was very normal. So this wouldn't be out of the typical normal for their traditions and customs. Secondly, you need to know that feeding 600 people was nothing for Nabal. He was so wealthy. He had so many resources that feeding 600 people would not have been a problem at all. It would have been like whipping out, you know, meals for a couple extra people who came to visit him. He was so wealthy, this wasn't a problem. David knew that he was wealthy enough to feed his 600 men. Nabal knew that as well. But in verse 10, Nabal, when David's men come up to him, Nabal says this to David's men. He says, "Who is this David, who is the son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to the men coming from who knows where?" Nabal acted like he didn't even know David, which wasn't true. So this was like a high insult for David's men to receive, a turning away. For Nabal to look at them and send them away was highly insulting. And particularly in a culture that was surrounded around a different idea of hospitality. So he turned David's men away. And when they returned back to David, the men came back to David to report to him what had happened. And he was furious because he had invested all of this time to help protect all of Nabal's fortune. So David decided to keep 200 back to watch what they had. And he took 400 men armed with swords and was ready to confront Nabal. You see, David had been waiting to be king, and he was, in the meantime, very, very good. He was so kind to the people that he was around. And so, in fact, because David was so watchful, it was in part of David's faithfulness to watching the land that Nabal had financial success. A huge reason why Nabal was so wealthy and had so much money was because David was watching his land. And he didn't take any possessions from it. He didn't steal anything. He made sure everything was protected well. So for Nabal to refuse hospitality was appalling. It was unheard of. It was an insult to David. It was one of Nabal's servants who then heard about David and 400 men coming to Nabal's household. And so he, out of concern, he decided to approach Abigail, which was Nabal's wife, the intelligent and beautiful wife. And he goes to her and he tells her, and I'm reading out of verses 14 to 17 now. He says, or he came up to her saying, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were so good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." So Nabal's wife, Abigail, thinks about this as her concern, and her heart to bring peace. She considers what she should do. And let me create a little bit of a picture for you, because Abigail, in my mind, gets the stamp of brave in these next couple of verses, because in a culture where women would not have nearly the amount of influence, and in fact, they were seen as second best to men. They were servants and expected to serve their husbands. Not only did she risk being killed by David, who was ready to come take over his household for the ways that he had insulted him. In fact, she also risked her life from Nabal's point of view, because Nabal already set the word. He said, "I'm not giving them anything." So for Abigail to be brave and courageous, to not only approach the very man who wanted to take her husband's life, she also risked her own life, because if Nabal had found out what she did, it would have also been bad news for her because of Nabal's anger. Abigail was brave. She risked her own life to communicate that she was on God's side. And so, this is what she did. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants, "Go on ahead, I'll follow you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Verse 20, as she came riding her donkey into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her, and she met them. David had just said, "It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his is missing. He has paid me back evil for good." And so it was Abigail's quick thinking that changed David's mind. It was her heart to bring peace and justice to the situation, to make things right. In fact, she even, in her encounter with David, affirmed and spoke about God's power and his faithfulness, saying she knew that the battles were won by God. It was a short 10 days later that Nabal died. And David heard this, and then, because upon hearing this, wanting to care for Abigail, who was brave, asked Abigail to become his wife. And this was also wise on David's part as well, because you see, she was a very prominent citizen of Judah. And so David began to slowly prepare himself as king, maybe not realizing all the steps he was taking forward and how God was preparing him. And in fact, Abigail was brave and courageous as she ran to meet them and encounter them to give her master's pardon, ask for forgiveness for the insulting words that Nabal had said to David's men. She had no way of knowing if her encounter with David would have ended in her death. She also had no way of knowing how Nabal would have reacted upon finding out that she had given provisions and food to David's men. She cared about peace, and she cared about making things right. So it led her to be faithful to the powerful God she had saw and encountered as she approached David. And she had a reason and a purpose in those moments. You see, God made you for very important reasons. And the ways that God uses us, our kids learned this week, are very unique and different. God uses us in lots of different ways. And in fact, it is in this identity that our maker, our creator, that God made us. And he made us for a reason. Each person in this room has a purpose. No person here is an accident. No person here is meaningless. No person on this earth does not have an intent or purpose. But you know, sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's challenging to find that reason. In fact, sometimes it takes a brave action, stepping out of your comfort zone to know what that reason might be. We all fall differently on the spectrum of knowing how God wants to use us. Some of us are still discovering how our gifts and talents work into creating and furthering the kingdom of God. And some of us are asking the question, God, what do you want me to do? How can I love more fully? How can I give glory to you? And some of us have wrestled with that question for years. Others of you know full well what God has called you to do. And you wake up every morning saying again, yes, I am going to do what God has created me to do to further the kingdom of God in this place. But it doesn't matter how old you are, because God still made you for a reason. And as Christians, we hold a very collective and unified purpose. See, our telos, our purpose is to love God, love others, love ourselves, and care for creation. We all come together in different, unique ways to help live out the holy calling of love. In fact, as you ponder what God has created you for and to be, you may be wondering if there's something more. In fact, kids, you might be challenged right now. Maybe God is calling you to be a friend to your brother or your sister or to somebody else that needs a friend. Remember back to our buddy bench in our kid videos this week, how God might be challenging you to be a friend to somebody, to reach out to them, to be a buddy. Adults, God may be challenging you to be the love of God in your home or in your workplace. And each of us have unique ways in which we fit into the intent that God created us for, because He has a reason for each of our lives. We are not accidents. In fact, Abigail had a reason for her life. She was a peacemaker in those moments. She had no way of knowing that she would soon join the king's family. She had no way of knowing whether her life was going to be spared. But she was brave, and she cared about justice, and God used Abigail in a very powerful way. And it doesn't matter. It may seem that Abigail's act of bravery might be small, because in the grand scheme, what would have really happened if Nabal's household was destroyed? Maybe it wouldn't have made a difference. Maybe it would have. I don't know. But what I do know is that because of her bravery and her knowing that God was powerful, she cared about creating peace. She had a reason, and God used her in those moments. You see that? I want to know what God is using you for. I want to know how you are going to live out the telos, the purpose, as Christians that we are in the world, to extend the love of God in this place. You see, you have a purpose and a reason. Don't compare yourself to anybody else's purpose or reason. You can be only the best you because God created you to be who you are. So as you look around, I don't want you to fall into the trap of seeing what your friends or your coworkers or anybody else is doing that seems really great for the kingdom of God. Because God created you uniquely to live out his purpose. In fact, it was by the grace of God, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, that we are capable of loving. I told the kids this week that in 1 John, we learn that we love only because he first loved us. We are capable of showing the love of God because God first loved us. God loved you when you were difficult and kind of a pain, and he loved me when I was difficult and kind of a pain. But because he loved me, I have the ability to love others. And it is through his grace and his sacrifice that he made for us that empowers us and enables us to live out a call to love others, to live out our true purpose as we come together as the body of Christ. In a couple moments, we're going to get ready to take communion. And Pastor Dennis is going to come up here and he's going to pray with me. And I want you to take a couple moments of reflection. And actually, our kids, so kids, come on up, because I want you to join me for a song. Our kids are going to sing a song with you that they sang this week to declare that God forgave them. And in fact, we had two kiddos this week who answered that call to make Jesus number one in their hearts and accept Christ. So Pastor Dennis, why don't you come on forward, and we're going to get ready to take communion. And Pastor Dennis is going to share with us a little bit more. So go ahead and hang tight for a second while Pastor Dennis shares with us, okay? Okay.